Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Have you heard of masterminds but aren't really sure what they are and maybe been afraid to ask? Are you wondering if paid masterminds really are worth it? If so, then today's show is for you. But first, you've heard me talk on this podcast about how being a part of a mastermind has completely changed my business. It's stretched me as a person by holding me accountable, and it's opened some incredible doors and opportunities. Well, I'm very excited to announce that I'm partnering with Anthony Witt, the guest on today's show, on his Champions Masterminds to start a group of my own. Now, we're limiting it to just some select people with a growth mindset, and not everyone will be accepted. There is an application process because we really do want to help this take your business to the next level. And we really do want people with that growth mindset. If you're interested, head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind to apply. Like I said, there's only a couple spots left and they're filling up fast. That's manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind. I'm so happy to welcome back to my show my good friend Anthony Witt. Now, if you don't know who Anthony is, if you missed him being on the show before, Anthony really has a gift for connecting with people in both personal and professional environments. He has an uncanny ability for making others comfortable and allowing them to share both their fears and their dreams. Anthony leverages this talent via coaching men in mastermind groups and also by partnering with his wife, Sarah, to coach couples on how to improve their marriage. Anthony's ability to listen, to empathize, and to connect with people of all ages and backgrounds allows him to help individuals and families grow personally, professionally, and spiritually. Anthony and I have been part of a mastermind for around 3 years, and there's a reason I'm still in there. Anthony is the real deal. And I think this episode really breaks down why I believe so strongly in masterminds. I know this is a visual marketing podcast, but this is such an important part of my business, I had to bring it to you. So let's jump right into my conversation with Anthony Witt. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me again today. You were like one of my first guests ever, so it's very cool to have you back.
Hey, I'll take that, man. I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun with you.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking once again about masterminds, because if you've heard me on the podcast before, and if you've even seen me stream over on social media, Examiner's channel, that it has changed really the way I do business. And so Anthony, actually, full disclosure, is in one of my masterminds. And have we been in a mastermind together about three years or so?
3 years, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So we met at like Social Media Marketing World and then went to Podcast San Diego and did some, been meeting almost weekly since then. So I guess
we kind of knew each other. That'd be close to 3 years, right?
At least. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So, but I wanted to bring Anthony on to talk about masterminds because they really are important to me. I credit that with, you know, getting the, consulting job I have with Social Media Examiner and then taking my business to the next level and products and all sorts of stuff. I credit to these guys that I'm part of in a mastermind. I'm also in another mastermind with some people you may know too. I'm not going to give them names because I haven't asked them if I could do that or not, but I've been two masterminds. So and Anthony's like in a gazillion. So we both think they're very important and we see the benefit of them. And so we're going to talk about that today. So Anthony, let's jump right into it. I want to kind of level the playing field, because, you know, some people may not know what a mastermind is, and I don't want to feel stupid, but they may have heard it bandied around, you know, some entrepreneurial circles, but they don't know what it is. So can you kind of do a brief breakdown and overview of what a mastermind is?
Yeah, mastermind, huh? That's a great, it's one of those words I even say to people, hey, what do you do? And I say, I run mastermind groups. It's what I do. And they're like, what? What's that? I don't understand. Yeah. What do you do?
Right.
And so that's, I think that's a great point, a great place to start, Jeff. And I could give you the clinical definition, and I might in a minute here, but what a mastermind group is, in a nutshell, is it's, you know, if we're a business person, I look at it as it's our eyes and ears outside of our own head. Right. And so that might mean that it's your C-suite, right? Your C-suite of executives that are helping you make decisions. But the power of the mastermind, and that's another thing that's kind of thrown out there, mm-hmm. is so important, because it's not just that I have my C-suite of executives, my finance guy, maybe, or whatever, you know, the other guys in my group or the different people in my group. Mm-hmm. It's that they're giving me different perspective, and it's non-filtered perspective. Meaning, if I have a C-suite in my company, likely my finance guy is going to kind of position stuff that'll make me happy, maybe do stuff back. Well, a mastermind group, they don't have any skin in that game. And so they're going to tell you exactly how it is. I was recently in the mastermind. Actually, Jeff Goins was on the call. He came in as an expert to teach us stuff, because we wanted to learn some things. So we brought him in, and he put it this way: it's someone to say to you, you can do better, and help you do better, opposed to someone to say, that was horrible. You're stupid. You're no good at this.
Right.
You know, all the negative stuff. Instead, say, hey, you can do better. I know you can do better. Okay, now let's figure out how to do better. And so my clinical definition has three specific areas in it, and it's planning, solving, and taking action. And so it's a group of people that are planning things, they're solving problems, and they're taking action based on those things that they've done. So whether that's business, whether that's family, whether that's health, whether that's life, and I personally lean towards, if you really want to have a mastermind group, you're not limiting yourself to this one little tiny area of our life, which might be work or might be family or health. You got to realize that you're a whole person, and it all affects everything.
That's a good point. But I know people who are listening to this are going, okay, just what I need, another meeting, you know, and I am so anti-meeting, but I love mastermind. So, you mentioned kind of that you have in your own personal C-suite and that kind of thing. So what are the benefits? I mean, it's not a meeting. And so maybe explain what the difference is between a mastermind and like a local networking group. Like, I was a part of like BNI for a while, and it had its place especially for local businesses, but it just wasn't giving me what I needed. I felt, and you and I have talked about this, is I wanted to be around people who had a growth mindset. And I think that's a big thing to talk about as well. So, you know, what is the difference between like a local networking group and like your chamber of commerce and a mastermind?
Typically, that's a hard question to answer in entirety, but typically those groups are, what can you do for me? What can you give to me? Can you give me a lead? I was a part of BNI, and it worked well for me, actually. But it was, what can you do for me? What can you give to me? A mastermind cannot be structured that way. It has to be, what can I give to the group? What can I bring to you? Right? So it's, you spoke about growth mindset. So you have growth mindset and fixed mindset. The fixed mindset says, this is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. Just got to live with it. I'm in pain. I don't like what's happening. Well, too bad. This is the way life is. A growth mindset is going to say, no, let's find another way around this. Let's figure out how to get past this. Let's figure out how to generate more leads or fix more things. And so a mastermind group is going to be people coming together to work collaboratively to figure out to figure out how to work together as a group and figure out how to move forward new avenues, maybe avenues you haven't even thought of before, or different things that have even come together. And the thing that happens really well is when you're in a mastermind group is that I might combine, like, for instance, I said finance either earlier, right? I might combine finance with marketing, and those two things don't even go together. But when I take the avenues or things that we do in finance on a regular basis, and I take the things that we do in marketing on a regular basis, I might have just come up with an amazing product. I might have just come up with an amazing process to do better at my manufacturing job or something, you know, depending on where I'm at. Those things would never come together unless you're in a group of people from different industries or different factors that are all trying to work together. Does that make sense? And so you're not going to get that in a BNI. You're not going to get right. that in a chamber group because they're keeping you're kept in your segments.
Right.
In those organizations. And this says, no. Let's use those segmentation and information to help everybody work together.
And so I want to, so that working together, I want to clarify that because you said before, you know, like BNI, you're trying to get something, and on masterminds, you're not, but you still get things on. I mean, it's like, it's a collaborative thing. It's, you're still getting benefit. Cause if you're just going just to provide value, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be in a mastermind. It's not a support group, or it's not somewhere you just go and visit. There's actual structure, you know, in it and trying to move not just the group forward, but you in the group. Like you said, you're having like, you are big into real estate, and I have no idea in real estate, but being able to take those lessons that you've learned from the real estate market and, hey, you may want to think about doing, you know, this that I've been doing here, that is a benefit to me and gives you.
Yeah. Let me give you an actual real life example on that. So I have a guy in one of my mastermind groups who is an online seller, an Amazon person, a seller. Mm-hmm. I'm not an Amazon guy, so I don't even know all the words, right? He's not an arbitrage guy. He's a products guy. he helps people with their products, but he, you know, takes them and he was looking for more capital, right? How do I get more capital? How I work? I said, how are you doing it now? And he kind of explained it to me. I said, that's interesting. Let me show you how I do it in real estate. Let me show you exactly how I, because he was giving me his returns. His returns were like 30% or something like that. I said, you're giving me 30% returns on my investment. I can give you the cash, not me personally, but like my investment portfolio of people mm-hmm. can take that because they understand it. And so it was all about the way he was wording and positioning his offers to potential investors. I said, try this. Well, you know, $50,000 later, that's great because it's a different perspective. He wouldn't have had that if we weren't in a group together. Cause he is in another group with just Amazon guys. They work through stuff that really helps them. They would have never figured out this other way, more than likely, if they didn't go to a different industry.
That's a great point. My friend Elisa, I want to bring this question, comment up. She goes, it's part business school, part therapy session. And that is, I mean, if you're in a good mastermind, and Anthony mentioned this at the beginning of the show, we come at it as in the one I'm in with Anthony, and even the other one that I'm in, it's life. It's not just, we're just going to talk about business. Everything affects, is like a domino, and everything impacts everything else. And so for me, I think the best masterminds are encompassing. You know, it's not a book club, it's not a support group, but it's still all encompassing. Would you agree with me?
I would totally agree. So I have the privilege and or disadvantage of having a therapized wife. My wife is a marriage and family therapist, and so I get therapized like crazy, in a good way though. And so I like that comment that it's part therapy because it absolutely is. But let me give this, I guess it's an example. When you come into your life and you have, for instance, I actually was writing about this morning, negativity. What do you do with that negative voice in your head, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, even if you're an employee, I got cut down by the boss for doing something wrong or whatever. It doesn't matter how you get it. You have this negativity voice that comes in. What do you do with that? And who do you turn to help you deal with that? that could be negativity from your spouse or your significant other. It could be negativity. It could be negativity from your kids. You know, it's something that is dragging you. What do you do with that? But what I do with that is I take it to my mastermind group and say, hey guys, man, I was just not motivated this week. I just cannot get going. Well, if we talk through that a little bit and say, oh, well, this is what your deal is. Oh, I guess I better go talk with my wife because that's kind of where my problem
right.
is.
Right.
It's affecting my business and my business work. So
very, very cool. So if you're just joining us, we are talking all about masterminds. I'm here with mastermind expert Anthony Witt. And if you like this and if this is something that's interesting to you, you know, make sure to ask some questions and give us some comments here on Be Live. And also, if you think this is valuable, we'd love for you to share it to your group or even your Facebook group or even inside of, you know, just to your friends and family, whoever you think would benefit from this. We'd really appreciate the share. So talking about masterminds, we've talked a little bit about how they're, it's different from a group training. It's all encompassing. And here's the question I think that, you know, a lot of people who aren't used to this and maybe even a little bit hesitant about the technology, can you really build relationships? Because mastermind, there's relationships that are built in it. Can you really build relationships online? I mean, you're in kind of over in the Chicago area. Our other mastermind guy is by Indianapolis. I'm in Texas. You know, how does that work? Can you really build these relationships?
So I think what your question is it's more about a technology question, right?
Yeah.
What is technology doing? So go ahead.
I was going to say, because some people may have like, why am I even investing the time in this when, you know, when I'm not going to see these guys. I mean, I see them in a computer screen.
So let me back it up even further than a mastermind group real fast. Technology, and you're on the social, you're a social guy. What I see technology doing is isolating us even more in the fact that we're putting on faces. And so we put on this face, and it might be a different face for the different platforms, right? It might be I might have a Twitter face. I might have a Facebook face. Right. I can't define it, but I'm putting up this shield that it's stopping me, right? Back in the, probably, I'm too young, but I was going to say, back probably even in the 50s, but I was going to go a little bit farther than that, like in the 20s and 30s. You would go to the local grocery store. You know, the Walmart hadn't taken over yet. And I'm not against Walmart here.
Right.
But, you know, you had a local guy and you'd go to the local store and you would talk in the local store and you'd get to talk to people. And you would say, hey, I want, you know, this much sugar and this much whatever. And you'd get to actually have those communications and start to figure out what's going on in the community and hear what's going on. We don't have that anymore. So right. We can put up these faces like crazy. And so we put on these faces, and that's what I see that happening with social. But the problem with all that is that our bodies and our being and our creation screams community.
Right.
It says we want to be in community, right? Matter of fact, I want to give credit. I think you gave me this originally, a part of this, Jeff. And it was, you know, what does community say, or what does the creation say, right? Birds, they fly in flocks. Cows, they run in herds. I look at a tree in the desert. Have you seen a tree in a desert all by itself? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? You think, oh, that poor lonely tree.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
That was me at dances in high school. But go ahead.
So we're designed to live in community, but we keep putting up these faces. We're putting on these things. And so to get to your question, I do see masterminds digitally as being the starting point, because we're breaking down, we're meeting us where we are now in the world, right? We're not saying I have to be in front of you every time I meet with you, right? Mm-hmm. We're using technology to be able to get in front of you. Like you said, you're in Texas, I'm in Illinois, or other guys in Indiana. And I got groups of guys that he's in India and a guy in Poland, right? Kind of all over. I could never meet with those guys. And so if I just limit myself to the people in my community, I don't get as much resource. But back to your question, it's the starting point and where we meld technology and this concept of relationship, right? So that's the starting point. That's the growth process. And so I start taking off my faces that I've put on, that I've, like, some of us have drilled those things onto us, and I'm not going to let down that mask. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm not going to get in the mask in my room and just take off all the faces and say, hey, it's perfectly fine now. That's not how it happens. It's slowly processed. And so this is why I think the digital starting point is a great place to be. Mm-hmm. But if you look at our group, for instance, the group that you and I are in specifically together, where have the huge catalyst been? It's then when we meet in person,
right?
See each other at conferences. You have to get out and do those things. We have lunch together. And for sometimes, there's some times where we've met at an event that we've been at for 4 days and we've only seen each other for 30 minutes.
Right.
But that right there then takes us to the next level. But using technology as a starting point is great because we're already screaming, I want community and I want to take off this mask.
I think that's a good point. And I want to also say that, like, so we met, I mean, we kind of briefly met before we started the mastermind at the podcast San Diego. And then we said, hey, let's form a mastermind. And so we did that for a while. And I will say that after you, you know, like you said, the time happens where you actually do build those relationships digitally online. When we did finally meet back up in person, it was just like continuing the conversation. I mean, it's not, the thing is, there's no jar. It's just like, okay, now you're just here. It's not that big a deal. It's just continuing the conversation. It was cool because we ran into each other at the Cheesecake Factory, and I met your wife. You were out on a date, and it was like still in San Diego. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it was just, but it was, there was no, the relationship was there. And that's what I think impressed me the most was it, the ease. There wasn't any awkwardness of hanging out in real life. I mean, it's like, you know, oh, that person's a lot shorter than he looks like on, that's about it. But it's nothing, it's just continuing the conversation. And I think that is just really awesome. And how this, like you had mentioned, the breadth of people you can come in contact with and build relationships now through technology is pretty amazing. But not to give up the live events as well. So
yeah, you know, it's I kind of look at this as reverse, and it's really a psychology concept, and is we've been and I keep using this face example because I think so often we mask ourselves to our own problems. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm a strong business person, entrepreneur that's crushing the world, look at me. Okay, you probably aren't crushing it in every single area of your life,
right?
You're right. Something's probably, I mean, we're broken people, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that's probably falling off that we can work together. And so we use technology to get us in the space. We say we're in the 21st century. We're not going to deny that. And we're going to use the technology to grow relationship, grow vulnerability, grow openness. And then in a perfect world, which of course we know we don't live in, We can meet up in person at some point in time. And that just catalyzes it even, you know, further.
Don't you think the best masterminds are the ones where you do have that meetup time in real life?
I do. And it's, like I said, it can be short. I mean, I'm in some groups where I've never met the guys in person. Mm-hmm. And there, we have great, great chemistry and we really work well together. But I'm in other groups where we do meet up semi-regularly, and that just takes us to the next level. Something, hey, yeah, besides the fact that, oh, you're shorter than I thought you were. You're taller than I thought. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Like, I've met guys, I'm like, ah, oh, he's kind of short. I've met one guy, I thought, I was like, he's kind of short. He was like 6'5" or something like that. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You're up there. So yeah, as far as meeting person, that's great, but you can start those relationships digitally. And that's why I say, to the digital side. I think it's even better because I even have met with people that live in my same town digitally.
Right.
Because the other people in the group aren't digital. That guy or girl doesn't need to sit next to me because we're in the same town. No, let's all use digital format to work together.
Yeah. One of the quotes that we're both fans and friends of Aaron Walker, Big A. And one of his quotes that he says is, your net worth is equally proportional to your network. And I think that ties right into the conversation that we're talking about. And, you know, what are your thoughts of that? I mean, have you seen the same thing? Is the greater your network has come about, and you mentioned some opportunities, and I totally believe that is true.
Yeah. So it's kind of the, I would call it an old adage, right? It's not about having 100,000 people following you or on your list. It's about actually knowing the people that are on your list, that are in your group, right? So that's the network part. Do you actually spend time with these people? Get on calls, get in groups with them. And so that's what I have seen. I mean, hands down, masterminds and the growth of my network have led to an amazing opportunities for me. Leading mastermind groups for different organizations specifically has come from actually other mastermind groups.
Very cool.
And so for me, that is where it's at. Cause then I think about, I used to use Trump as an example, but he's the president now. So it kind of breaks down regardless of what you think of him as a person, right. Kind of breaks down. But you look at your Warren Buffetts and your other, you know, really, really high end people. Who do they hang out with? They don't typically hang out with me.
Right.
Right. No slight on me, but I'm not at that level yet. I'm not growing with them. Mm-hmm. And so for instance, another group that I'm in, we're all, it's kind of, I really hate this example, but I'm going to use it. We're all raising together, you know, the all ships, right?
Right.
Doesn't always happen that way. You got to be pulling teeth sometimes, say, hey, get up here, let's go. But if you're in a good mastermind group, they're going to be pulling your teeth and saying, hey, you can do better.
Right. Good point. Here's another question by Elisa, and I want to bring this one up. She goes, I've had people ask me how to get into a mastermind. I kind of stumbled onto mine. It happened organically. So if you're looking for one, how do you find one?
Well, the best bet would be to join the one that Jeff and I have here, but a little selfless plug there. The first off is know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. It's kind of like if you jump in the car and you don't know what your end destination is, you're never going to get there. You're going to keep taking right turns until you go in a circle and you're never going to make it. So I like Simon Sinek. So I like his concepts of start with why. Start with why you want to be in a group, especially if you're talking about, I take that question as this person wants to start something for themselves, right? If they want to start something for themselves, you got to start with your why and then get out there and start finding the people. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's some processes behind it, but it's simple as that. If you want to be in a paid mastermind group, which is something that I strongly recommend for several reasons, one of which is it's the buy-in concept, right? It's are you invested in? I start groups now and I make people pay, and sometimes I give them their money back when I'm done because I want them to buy in.
Right.
Right? Or, you know, we might do a targeted group and we'll do something really cheap because you want the buy-in concept. So if you're looking for something like that, look for the people that you have likeness with, that you connect with, that have the same type of value set that you have. That's critically important. If you don't have the same value set as the person that you're thinking about paying a mastermind to be a part of, you're not going to work out well because you're going to butt heads too much. Like I said, diversity is great, but you're going to butt heads too much if you don't have the same value set. And so finding that influencer that maybe is doing mastermind groups, because they have a ton of experience. And the truth is you're not buying into their experience. You're actually buying into the experience of all the other people that they're going to put together in a group.
Right.
You know, a guy put it this way for me, and I love this. Another guy in one of our mastermind groups said, you better be showing up to this group because I'm paying for your advice. Not me as a facilitator.
Right.
Me as a member. Right. And so finding people with the right philosophy that you already have and get out there and join their group. I mean, just do it.
And so the paid versus free, you're saying, cause I've been a part of both. I've been paid and free. And I agree with you that the paid one, you have buy-in, especially if you're going, and I mean, it does make you show up. You make time for something that you're going to pay for. And I think that's a great point. I'm not saying free ones are bad because I think there's some great ones that I'm a part of right now that are free, and they're awesome, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. So, but if you're just getting started, one of the best ways I think is to find a paid one. And the prices range from, you know, you go to some of those high end ones and it's like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Like, and then there's ones that are, you know, more reasonable than that.
That kind of speaks to I don't really like to get caught on cost, but I mean, that speaks to what type of caliber person is going to be in the group too, right? If I want to move to quote unquote, the next level, the next, you know, phase or get through where I'm stuck at, if I'm in a group that's, you know, only a couple dollars, most likely the people that are in that group are also going to be way back here where maybe a couple hundred or maybe it is that 10,000 that you said, right?
Right.
Whatever number, because those are the people that are going to be more likely to be in my in my sphere and pushing where I'm pushing. And so here, real quick, before you get going again, as far as paid versus free, I totally agree with you. I am in free groups right now as well. And I'm in paid groups. The thing with a paid group, what I like about a paid group is this. First off, everybody else in that group is paying to be a part of it. And so everybody has buy-in. When it's not working, I have to sit down and evaluate why it's not working. And quite often, it's not working because I'm not pouring in. I'm not giving, right? If not, the group has got a bigger problem that they need to deal with anyways. And it's going to fold no matter what. You know, if all the members aren't putting in, it's going to fold. But quite often, I've had groups come to, or individuals come to say, hey, this is just not working out for me. And so we sit back and say, well, what have you put into this? What are you doing to be a part of it? Absolutely nothing. I'm just here to take. Right. Well, give it a month or a couple of weeks and try giving. See what happens. So
that leads to another point. So when is it okay to leave a mastermind? Because I've left some of those too. So what do you tell people, like, you know, do it for a month? I mean, is there a time limit? I mean, how long, when is it you say it's okay to leave?
Well, I'll start by saying it's not like it's the church or something. So, I think there are legitimate reasons to, you know, it's met its purpose for me. There's times when that happens. There might be times where you have outgrown the group, where your speed is faster than the group's speed, because you've grown faster than that. And you have to be introspective enough to realize that and listen to that. Because then it's kind of, you know, it's great to be a mentor. It's great to be a coach or whatever that might be. And you should probably do that. But it might be time for you to move to a higher level group. In a perfect world, you don't have that problem because everybody's moving at similar speeds and they're pulling each other. But absolutely, if you come to the point where you have outrun the group, it's probably time for you to move on. At the same and the reverse of that, of course, if you can't keep pace with the group's speed or pace, you should probably move on. And then, like I said a little bit earlier, the philosophy of life. It's better to, like I said, diversity is amazing in mastermind. And I push for as much diversity as possible. But if I can't let go or be sound with the philosophies and belief structures of the people in the group, it's better for you to leave. It's better for me to pull out and find a group where I can find a little bit more, another super overused word, synergy.
Right.
You know, a better group where I find a little bit more camaraderie, so it's not pulling. You know, if I can't let go of... And a lot of times it ends up being, I'll be honest, there's like, it can be a religious issues. Some of those issues that I just can't, philosophy wise, let go of. It's better for me to move on, one way or the other. I can still be friends. I can still talk to these people, but it might be better for us not to be in a mastermind together.
That's a good point. Good point. So, Let's kind of dive in and let people see what the inside of a mastermind looks like. So why don't you walk, because some people may not even know what a format of a mastermind is. And maybe you just think everybody goes and talks at the same time, or they may think it's like a BNI group where you pass slips around. So kind of give us the format of a mastermind. I know there's different ones, but give us the one that you and that we're going to be doing, kind of the overview of that.
Yeah, this is actually the number one question right here. It's how does an actual meeting work?
Right.
So much. I run onboarding for another group that I do groups for. And this is when I get done with everything. I say, what do you have? What's your final questions? About 90% of the time, it's what's actually going to happen in the first meeting?
Right.
So this is the format that I like to use. It's a primary format that I use. I say that there is four other primary formats, but this is the one that I use the most and have the most success with. And that is typically we come into the meeting. We'll do some type of wins of the week. It's not about everybody having a win of the week, but it's about looking at the positive sides of things. So I'll say, hey, Jeff, what happened this week? What's a win that happened this week? What's something positive that's happened? Because we do want to think about those positive things, because right, that negative voice is always, it's right here trying to get at us. So do wins of the week. Sometimes that might be around Robin site. Hey, everybody give us a win. It might just be, hey, Jeff tells me gives us a big long story. Nobody else has a big thing to tell us. And so that you know, we go with that. I like to use books for us to learn. We need to use books to move forward, right? And so we use books, sometimes business, sometimes philosophy, things that are going to help us move forward. And so we use those books as catalysts. We take those books and we typically use three or four questions off of the chapters that we're supposed to read. Reading books at a fairly fast clips, a book a month. And so having questions lined up for the four or five chapters that you're supposed to read, or two or three, depending on how big the book is, having those questions lined up and using those questions as catalysts. Sometimes that catalyst might come from the wins of the week. Sometimes it might come from something that we talked about the week before. And so I'll say, hey, and you know, Jeff, and you were working through this. Let's, you know, we came across this in the book. How do you answer this question in reference to what's actually happening in your life, your business, your family, your marriage, your spiritual life, all that? So we use that. That doesn't mean you come with a book report. Right. What it means is you're continuing to read, you're continuing to educate yourself, or continuing to learn. Sometimes the book questions, you go kind of skip right over top of them because we need to get to the meats and potatoes of the group. And so from that, we do what I like to call a hot seat, or man in the middle, or we specifically use the word the carving post in one of my groups because we just tear people apart in a good way, right? Right. In a you can do better way. But we put people on the carving post and come with questions, say, hey, this is where I'm at on this. I'm thinking about making this decision. I need to figure out how to do this marketing thing. I don't have a clue where I'm at here. My marriage is falling apart, whatever it might be. We take these things, you sit, you know, you come with your questions and the group helps work through them.
So you rotate it through one guy a week, right? Is
that kind of one guy a week. Some groups that I'm in will do two guys a week if it's applicable. And here's the deal. As a mastermind group gets older and older, meaning more combined openness and fluidity within the group, you can actually do more people per week because I don't need the backstory anymore. Cause that's what I've had the backstory for the last 3 years. And so you can go directly to your point. You don't have to give me a whole lot of history or anything. And I can say, hey, you tried it this way last time. It didn't work. Try it. Oh, I forgot I tried it that way last time. Oh, so let's try it this way this time. Oh, great idea. And so typically you'll start out with one, a group that's been around for a while. You move it into maybe two. And then I always like to close out with, I like to try to give time for anyone else that has a problem, because you might be like, well, my quote unquote time in the middle, my hot seat, my carving post isn't for a week or two, but man, I've got this issue, guys. Mm-hmm. And we can use off meeting platforms for that, be it Facebook or Slack or whatever you're using. That's great. But sometimes I'll be like, hey guys, I'm about ready to go into this negotiation with these guys over here. This is what I'm doing. What do you think? You know, in the last couple of minutes, always nice to have that ability because you're not there to fit a structure. You're there to actually help each other.
Right.
And then go forward. Some groups, depending on the structure of the group, you might do a accountability tool then, right? The beginning and part of your wins, it might be where you at with your accountability from last week. And today, okay, this is what I'm going to work on next week. Let me know.
So how, you mentioned, you know, rotating. So how many people are in a typical mastermind that you like to have? Like, is there as a size of a group that you want to have?
I have been in groups from 3 to 15 that meet weekly, right? Pretty big range. And what I have found to be the best number is about 10. And here's why, because the best number is not 10. That's actually too many people. But typically in a group of 10 people, you'll have people miss for work appointments, family stuff, whatever. And so your number comes closer to about 8 of people attending. And that 7 to 8 is like the perfect amount of everybody has the ability to talk. We don't miss anybody. And so I like to load groups to about 10. I mean, I'm in a group now where we have loaded it to 11 on purpose because, again, the group's been around for a long time and it's okay to have a little bit more people in there. Too many groups, people get stuck in the corner. Not enough groups, there's not enough advice and there's not enough camaraderie going back and forth. And so I say the number is really, try to load my groups to about 10, which if everybody's going to show up every single week, and you might have that in your rule set, right? You got to show up every single week. I don't care if you have a meeting or a family thing, you got to show up. Maybe that number is a little bit lower, you know, 8. So,
gotcha. So how frequently, because I mean, I'm on one mastermind where we meet every other week, and then I have one that I meet every week. So does it vary the frequency, and how long do you usually have the masterminds last?
I like more frequent, lower time, because it gets me in front of you. Even if I don't have to, even I just say, hey guys, doing great. If that's all I say that whole time, we have more camaraderie is built by more frequent meetings, maybe a lower amount of time. So what I say by that is once a week for an hour. I try to be strict with that hour, unless there's like a major crisis that we're doing, because everybody's got other things going on, right? And then we schedule around that. And if you know, hey, we're going to cut off in the hour, it's helpful. I've been a part of and or seen groups where they do it the reverse, where they meet every other week and they meet for an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's kind of the whole attention span thing. When your attention span starts to go, are you really giving good advice anymore? So that's why I like to keep it lower. Give a lot of good advice, a lot of good information, and then we'll come back next week. And so we're getting in front of each other quite often. So I would say once a week for about an hour is what I have found to be the most successful.
Gotcha. Last question I want to, well, one second to last question is, you know, I know there'll be some concern, especially if you're still talking about CEOs and if you're talking about your family life, the confidentiality kind of thing, you know, is it what's said in the mastermind stays in the mastermind? And do you have them sign agreements? I mean, because if you were in a good one and you've got some, you know, what we would call heavy hitters or people in, you know, in that have influence and stuff, there may be a little bit of hesitancy to go into those because of those reasons.
Yeah. So, I do it two ways. In my groups, I have a legal full lawyer based, you know, NDL, non-disclosure agreement. Did I say the right letters? I think so. Yeah. and then NDA there, I knew, I didn't think that was right. I was like, that's not right. That must have been one of my real estate ones. An NDA, right? A full legal NDA. And I will put that out to people. But then I also have what I call the rules of the group or philosophy. You're going to sign off on our philosophy. And that is our philosophy, right? The truth is, in reality, to be completely candid, there's probably no legal recourse, or we're going to be in legal fights forever. And so it's about becoming comfortable over time with the people in your group. I'm not going to expect you to come with your $10 million process to me the first week or, you know, to the group the first week that's halfway through production that's going to change the world in some amazing way. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to share that first week, just like you're probably not going to share that you've been embezzling money from your company the first week either, right? And so that's a process that grows. But again, if you're the type of person that looks at the that big legal NDA and you say, everyone has to sign this, I'm not going to be a part of this if they don't, you're probably not going to be a very a person that's going to actually divulge any type of information that's going to help each other out. And so you're probably not a good fit for a group because you don't have a growth mindset. What you have is that fixed mindset that says, somebody's going to cheat me, this is the end of the world. Yeah, somebody might cheat you, that's true. But the truth is, if you're not going to get to the point where you're going to be open, it's just never going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Good stuff, Anthony. Thanks. Masterminds, I love them. I have changed the way I do business. But Anthony, where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, all kinds of places. I've got the podcast, of course, The Champion Entrepreneur. So you can find us at tcepodcast.com. My wife and I's platform is Fortified and True. But all over the social is actually the best place to find me, and all of the social platforms, all your normal places. I am at aleewitt.com. They're all the same. So aleewitt. That's the best place to find me.
And if this has piqued your interest, you know, and you thought, hey, I want to be a mastermind, I don't want to start. Hey, we've got one for you. Another shameless plug. Anthony and I are starting our own mastermind group. You can find out more about it at manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind. And with that, you know, I'd always love for you also to go to manlypinteresttips.com and click on the sidebar, join our email community where you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Anthony today. Because at manlypinteresttips.com, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.